So you guys know I like music that's game related. Yeah, I did a fair few songs for the Fallout series, featured them on our podcast, and we've got the awesome intro and outro, which are by S-Beast Music, sbeastmusic.com, awesome stuff. And I had that awesome rap by Dan Bull on here in episode 1, chatted with him a few times, great guy. And now there's another one that's come out that caught my attention from Mexico. I assume she's Mexican. Maluka, not to be confused with Makalua.
What? People keep stealing my name.
That's her secret identity when she's wearing the costume.
Maluka, I contacted her after she made this awesome video on YouTube, The Dragon Ball Comes. We know the Bard's song from Tevens. She sang it, and she made a really cool version of it, so here it is.
Our hero claims a warrior's heart. I tell you, the dragonborn comes with a voice wielding power of the ancient Lord Heart. Believe, believe, the dragonborn comes. It's an end to the Skyrim's foes. Beware, beware, the dragonborn comes. For the darkness has passed and the legend yet grows. You'll know the dragonborn's come. Ah,
speaking the dragon tongue there, singing it, it's pretty difficult actually. Have you ever tried to sing the Dovahkiin song? Anyone? No?
A little bit, maybe.
Tricky. I avoid singing on a general basis.
It's tricky enough trying to say it, much less speak it. I mean, sing
yeah,
it.
I only know how to shout certain bits of it.
Can shout a few words for you, yeah, but that's about it.
Yeah, it's really cool hearing the Bard song sung well. Yeah, you know, I had a lot of echo in there and it sounds really good. And it kind of just, there was someone, I can't remember who it was, on a forum somewhere that pointed out that we've got all these drums and lutes and stuff around the world and flutes. You can't play them.
What?
You think you should be able to as well, because you've got the whole Bard's College thing.
Yeah, so...
Well, the Bard's College thing has turned out to be a real flop. Like, you can't even become, as far as I know, the head of the Bard's College, can you?
I haven't done the quest line yet, so I don't know, but I'm sure somebody on this podcast has done that quest line. Austin?
A bunch of them glitch out, but...
Nope, it's a bunch of go fetch quests.
Yeah.
What? They're not going to teach us how to play lute or the drums, and I can't start swinging for my supper?
I think there's only four quests.
What?
Yeah.
That's lame.
So, mudders out there, playing instruments, getting paid to play instruments in bars, maybe? Maybe that would be good mod? Because we're going to talk about mods today.
We're going to talk about the fact that the kit is apparently going to be through the Steamworks type of thing.
Well, if we're going to talk about mods, we also need to bring up the 1.2 patch.
Yeah, we're definitely going to talk about the 1.2 patch. What did you mean, Mackie?
Because I have the Elder Scrolls thing on Facebook, they posted earlier that the Steam Workshop coming for Skyrim, which means that the construction set thing is going to be through the Steam Workshop. So you can upload...
You can upload your stuff. It's not through it.
It didn't say... No. Okay, I missed that part. But that's the other thing.
Skyrim Nexus is going to be kind of pointless at that point?
No, Skyrim Nexus is going to be around still for the people who want boobies and hentai.
I'm just looking at the latest files today in you. Kajit female nude.
See?
Because that's furries. What I want. A naked cat. That's what I want.
Adult animes in Skyrim, so they've animated them.
Oh, that sounds like a port of the one from Fallout New Vegas.
Probably is.
Will somebody do a dancing Skyrim like they did with the Lady Gaga song?
We do. We need to see somebody doing the Boon dance.
I got to say, you know, if you go to the top lists, the top 25 endorsed recently added files, the nude mod is not number one.
But it did get file of the month.
I know, it's like a number 11 nude females, and there are other nude mods, but let's face it. Thankfully, it's really not number one for a change. In fact, the very first thing I noticed when I played this game was how ugly the elves were. You know, they got this triangle flat faces. Number one mod is no more blocky faces. Number mod two is detailed faces.
The inventory mod is the one I was looking forward to, but when I got that, it was buggy. You would go into your inventory, and you know how with the 1.2 patch, people are complaining that mouse selection is off?
Mm-hmm. Well, hang on. What do you mean, off in 1.2? It's been off since the game.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, it's supposed that there are people complaining it's worse. But
no, it's just as bad.
Well, the inventory mod works really, at least the version I downloaded, it had the whole selection thing going in spades. It was a really nice idea. It made the inventory easier to get into, but it also made it easier to sell the wrong thing. Which is already easy enough.
Picked the wrong chat line. I mean, I bought a dog for 500 gold. I didn't want. There's a lot of mods here that improve the looks of Skyrim. Skyrim already looks really nice. I mean, compared to previous Bethesda games, it's up there, right? So the detailed faces, no more blocky faces, enhanced night Skyrim, realistic water textures, FX AA post-processor, enhanced blood textures, enhanced ore veins, enhanced higher quality eyes, high-D 2K textures.
The Field of Vision one that came from, that I think is just a port from the New Vegas one.
Which Field of Vision one?
The one I downloaded. It's the one that changes the Field of Vision, makes things look more like they do in the real world as far as things.
I'm not even sure that's in the top 30. I don't know where you found that one.
I found it on the Skyrim Nexus.
So there aren't too many mods here yet, and I stress the yet, that actually change the gameplay much.
Well, that's partly because the creation kit's not out yet, and also the thing I saw today, which is related somewhat to the 1.2 patch, is the how many people have heard notion of the SKES modders kit. I'm guessing that means no one.
Nope.
Apparently it's the Skyrim Enhanced Scripting Kit.
That thing, yeah.
Yeah, that thing is being, from what I was able to see in the forums, that's very widely anticipated. And also, there's a download out there. I haven't had time to try it, but there's a download that claims that it deals with the 1.2 magic or general resistance problem.
Okay, but... It's really not something they need to be fixing. It's something Bethesda.
Well, yes, but since they seem to be tied at the hip to the console schedule for fixes, that probably means a month before we'll see an actual fix.
Yeah. So, I think personally, I really want to try the HD textures, the 2K texture stuff. Just looking at the screenshots, I mean, it's great. I don't know why they didn't put out a high-res texture pack themselves, to be honest.
Well, I can tell you from using the No More Blocky Faces one, that is a real improvement. That improves the look of the game a lot.
Well, there are other little things like the enhanced eyes and detailed lips. You know, they're subtle, but make a big difference when you're up close talking to someone. They look less uncanny valley, and you know, it's good.
Yeah, but the faces in this game overall are a heck of a lot less uncanny valley, unlike potato faces from Oblivion.
Well, the detailed bodies one I liked as well. The bodies are a little bit blocky, and detailed bodies updates that a fair bit. So there's a project to pull in all the best mods, like there usually is. This one's called STEP, the Skyrim Total Enhancement Project. Pretty early days for that, to be honest.
Actually, you know what one of the best mods out there is? Isn't even really a mod, but it's listed in the Nexus, is the Tune Skyrim Prefs INI file for people who want to just not have to think too deeply about what to do in the INI file and get all the fixes.
Yeah, that's true. And there's also one to launch the game in full screen windowed mode. And I probably should start using that one because that's that's just the best way to play any game on Windows, really.
Why would you say that?
So that you can actually get to your other applications without having to swap out of the resolution, flop back to the desktop.
Yes.
Yeah.
I run this in a VM on a Mac, so I don't really have this problem.
Another one that I really want to play with is Realistic Smoke and Embers. You know, it's a nice little aesthetic touch. Looks good. You notice that most of these mods are that they're adjusting models, they're adjusting textures, they're adjusting mask maps and alpha maps and stuff like that. And that's because we don't have the proper modding tools.
Are your textures like all shiny in the games? Because I know mine on the lowest settings, everything is really shiny and like kind of muddy looking.
I run on pretty high settings.
That's just the lower settings. Even at medium, which I had to do just to get a little bit of frame rate boost, it's still pretty good looking. I don't have the muddy, shiny problem.
Yeah, I actually want to try out the enhanced distance terrain, distant terrain stuff, because I don't know if that'll slow down the game much, but being able to see further is always, you know, very immersive in these games.
Well, I got farther since the last time we recorded. I've managed to get to the Throw of the World quest.
Okay, and how many shiny things has Mackie been distracted by on the way to the main quest?
A lot of shiny things, because I got my smithing up from 40 to 70 in one night.
Yeah, I guess I got tired of lagging behind, and my smithing's already 100 thanks to those iron daggers.
Okay, I went to a workbench the other day, and I don't have the option to make a dagger. What do you do?
Make a dagger? You have to go to the blacksmith's forge. Okay, first off, blacksmith's forge, not the workbench. The workbench is for improving armor. Grindstone is for improving weapons. You make the stuff at the actual forge, though.
So you need leather strips, and you need iron ingots, and you need the actual forge. If you don't have the ingots and you have ore, you go to the smelter, which I know there's one in Windhelm. There's one.
Yeah, Whiterun.
Windhelm, that's the word I'm looking for. Windhelm and Whiterun both have smelters.
Mines usually have smelters, too.
And once you get 40 and you can unlock dwarven smithing, you can just sit there and crank out the Dwemer bows, because it's one iron ingot and two dwarven metal ingots. And
I wouldn't want one of those crappy bows.
You're selling them. You're making.
Oh, I don't need money anymore. I made it to 100K.
Yeah, okay, but for grinding the smithing up, you can make the bows and sit there and improve all the bows, and now you get a double hit of skill off of smithing. And once you hit,
I've been finding the same thing from enchanting, that once you get enchanting up to 40, you can start doing some really cool stuff. I got enchanting up to 40, or 42, I think it was, and I was able to give a +30 magicka to an item that I had, which was actually pretty cool.
I've been able to do like +33%, +22% for attack with one hand, and I know I did 30%, I think, regenerating magicka, which was pretty cool. MLS, did you do the 100 grand honestly, or did you use the console like you were?
No, I did it honestly. I was actually pretty close by the end there. Now I've just got to get up a couple more levels and get to level 50. And it'll happen. I've been going back and doing various quests. I mean, the only quest line that's closed off to me is the Dark Brotherhood, because I killed the leader.
Did everybody do the quest where you bring the various kinds of blood back to
No, I haven't. I've been wanting to.
You really need to do that one.
I should have done that one.
The benefit off that one is really cool. No matter what class you are, no matter how you're playing, the benefits are really awesome.
So you got the book at the end, James?
Yeah, although it confused me, because you get to the end, you have the guy there, Cygnus there, and it says, this person is busy. And you're wondering, okay, what do I do? I told the wispy thing I didn't want to kill anybody. And he's just standing there like a dumbass, and you can't do anything with him. It turns out you have to kill him.
Yeah.
And then once you kill him, then you get the book, and the quest finishes, and the wispy thing says, now you're my tool in the world, and you're like, yeah, go on. Stop.
I think he's meant to attack you if you decide not to kill him.
Well, maybe, but I couldn't get him to do anything. I kept leaving the area and coming back, hoping that something would trigger. And if I finally just gave up, saved the game, and said, okay, how about if I kill him? Then I got the benefits.
Yeah. So the book, there's a, you can glitch the book, although I didn't do it because I found out too late. Although you probably shouldn't anyway, it's a glitch after all. There's two ways to glitch the book. You can duplicate it using chests, and you can get it back using bookshelves when you use it, so that you can level everything up to 100 in a few minutes, basically. I don't recommend doing that because your armor, weaponry, skills, etc. Yes, the skill set goes up, but the weapons you're wielding won't match the enemies you'll come up against. So it's a little bit unbalanced if you do that.
Even without glitching, though, I went up 3 levels within half an hour using that book because I increased so many skills.
That's why I did smithing, is you can improve your weapons and armor to make yourself stronger, so that way when you go back out, you're still tough. Because, I mean, I'm one-hitting things with that Molar mace. It's ridiculous. I go up to a Talmar, hit him, and he's dead. Like, one hit.
Yeah, no, the smithing really, really improves the weapons. Because you get multiple chances to improve it as your smithing skill goes up. So you get to the point where this thing is just, like, the absolute bestest bow ever. And you're one-shotting things again.
So here's a little plot thing that I'm not happy with. After doing the Civil War thing, you know, I started with the Stormcloaks, and I'm looking forward to finding out how it plays when you go with the Imperials. But, you know, I gripe about the Thalmor being racist, but some of these Nords have turned out to be quite racist too. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm not happy with that at all, because it doesn't sit... There's like missing variables in the way you play the game. You know, your deeds and choices don't shape the world like they did in Dragon Age Origins. And I feel like that's a missed opportunity in this game.
And I keep wondering, because when I was on the Diplomatic Immunity quest, I went and I read through their dossiers on the different characters they had. They had one on Ulfric, and he is apparently a Thalmor plant at some point. He's not talking with them now, but I sit here and I keep wondering, should I even be siding with him?
Oh, man, I wish I hadn't told me that.
No, there's a lot of stuff that makes that quest line very interesting, because they apparently didn't surface this stuff in gameplay, but you can, based on reading those books, you could make any choice between siding with the Imperials, siding with the Stormcloaks, or deciding you're just going to stay neutral in the whole thing, and any of them are perfectly valid based on reading those dossiers.
Yeah, I mean, most of the Jarls, you talk to the Jarls, and they're like, you know, we were told by the Empire we have to outlaw Talos worship. We don't want to, and none of them, and they're all Talos worshippers, pretty much. So, you know, they're just sort of grinding their teeth and trying to wait it out. It sounds as though the Empire pretty much got its ass kicked, but why they would make the Gold White Concord in the first place if the Thalmor did need time to recuperate in some fashion.
Well, so did the Imperials.
I think that's... The Thalmor didn't need to recuperate. They just wanted them to stop worshipping Talos. Because the Empire said, okay, we'll stop worshipping Talos, Thalmor backed off, at least for now.
Yeah, I think that's... I think you got to look at the bigger picture. The only reason an invading army would agree to do that is because they are in a position of weakness that they don't want to be exploited. So perhaps they pushed too far.
They did. There was a big battle where the Imperials beat the snot out of them, but it cost the Imperials a dear bit. So they were basically back to almost level.
It sounds to me like this is modeled. I don't know if they hired anybody that was into this, but it sounds to me like they modeled this almost on the 30 Years' War in Europe, where everybody was exhausted at the end of it and said, okay, that's enough of that.
Yeah, but there was no White Gog, you know, you can no longer worship Talos. Pretty much the Thalmor have to have an upper hand.
There was. At the end of the 30 Years' War, there was a concordance that Protestants and Catholics would be treated equally, and nation states were the main functionary, and if you were going to fight a war again, it wasn't going to be over religion. They had that. This is something.
Yeah, but this is like the opposite of that. This is like coming in and saying, Protestants, you are all now Christians, and we're going to enforce it. That's something that a conqueror can do, not something that...
Isn't that what Henry VIII did to England? Basically said, no more Catholics, all Protestants.
No, it's more complicated. And I'm just saying that I'm wondering if somebody was... I'm not really wanting to get into a historical discussion on the podcast so much as I'm wondering if somebody dealing with the game was somewhat inspired by those events. That's what I'm curious about.
So two predictions from me for DLC. and maybe it's just actually the one prediction, but I believe that the whole moot thing, after you've done the Civil War, there's a whole discussion about who's going to be the High King or High Queen of Skyrim, and they're going to have a moot where all the Jarls get together and vote someone in. That moot doesn't happen in Skyrim, the main game. So I suspect that's going to happen in some DLC. The other thing is resumption of hostilities with the Thalmor proper, I believe, would be a major and very interesting piece of DLC. And I would love to see that. And they've said specifically that they're making big DLC, not small DLC this time.
Which would be very unlike Oblivion, which had the $5 horse thing going.
Yeah, but it also had Shivering Isles.
I actually do like that the rebels don't seem like some clean, perfect, good guys in the Imperial.
Yeah, this is not a case of
evil thing. I like that they're human, and there's areas of gray, and you know, some of them are good and some of them are bad, and it really feels a lot more realistic in that way.
If you read those dossiers, you can pick either side and feel good about
it. Okay, here's another missed opportunity. Once you've cleared out a place and it's marked as cleared on the map, I'm assuming it's not a bug that these places get occupied again later by something else. And usually it's bandits or Forsworn or something, right? Darn it, it's cleared. I want to make Skyrim a better place to live. You know, how do you do that? It should get occupied by Imperials or Stormcloaks based on
Fort Greymoor.
What?
When you clear out Fort Greymoor, Imperials move in.
It's kind of my point, but all these places, somebody moves in, and it's usually not somebody nice. And so it's basically Skyrim is occupied by a very small portion of people who call themselves Nords and follow the law, and then everybody else are just freaking criminals, bandits, and murderers, and
well, are normal nice people going to go want to live in a broken-ass dream or ruin?
I would like to clean out Riften and Windhelm, or Windhelm, I can't remember now.
I mean, I like it, and you give me the construction kit, I'm probably going to make some sort of better Dwemer house than the one in Makarth, but
I just feel it's a missed opportunity to actually feel like you're, you know, the same thing in Fallout 3, you do all of these deeds across the land, and nothing really ever gets better, but and in Skyrim, there's a real progression of time. You know, you're actually making progress and changing who's in charge and killing Alduin and doing all these things. And your legend is growing and you become Thane in multiple different places. Yet, somehow, Skyrim remains this second world country, essentially.
Maybe that's another remark. I know maybe I'm reading too much into things, but I feel like there are parallels to our world that, you know, the gamers, the creators of this game made, and it just
I'm just going to say that in game terms, if you think about it, since there's a civil war going on between the Stormcloaks and the Imperials, you notice that an awful lot of the forts, I'd say something like 70-80% of the forts I've run across, are occupied by bandits. And I'm thinking this sounds, at least again, going back to history, this sounds like times there were major conflicts in Europe where bandits took up residence on the roads, because the armies were busy marching around marauding, so they decided now is a great time to extract tolls from people walking around. This is how things actually worked out in history during periods of chaos. So I don't think it's all that unusual. You've got chaos in Skyrim. Bandits are taking over positions where they can extract tolls from travelers.
But this is the problem, James. There is no more chaos in Skyrim. The Stormcloaks are in charge in my version. The Alduin's gone in my version. I've cleared out dozens and dozens of places. I am Thane in multiple places. I am rich. There is trade going on. I'm investing in traders. The world should be becoming a better place. So, yes, it makes sense to start out that way. But as you play the game, as you level up approaching the kind of climax of playing Skyrim, you know, you really should be getting to an end times where you can say, look, this whole section of the place is safe. People live here happily. There's great commerce going on. And over here, I haven't gone there yet, so there's going to be bandits and stuff. And so there's really no point to having cleared on my map because it means nothing now.
Well, is this an artifact of maybe a limitation of how well they did the scripting where they just did an auto-gen and they got lazy about that?
Maybe it's possible to fix it so that a Radiant story will never occupy a place that's being cleared. That would fix things, because there are so many places I haven't been to, yet I'm coming back to places I've been to that are marked clear, and I have to go through all that nonsense again.
But at least you can rebuild the blades, make them better. You can bring like 3 recruits to them.
Yeah, they don't want to talk to me anymore.
I didn't kill Parthenox. Kill Parthenox, and they won't talk to me.
No, I won't refuse to kill him as well. There's a slight spoiler in the main quest.
Yeah, I heard that spoiler, and I was like, no, I'm not killing him. I've talked to him. He's awesome. I am not killing him.
And if you don't, if you don't kill him, the Blades will not talk to you again. They just say, we're waiting for you to kill Parthenox. I'm like, dude, he went off flying wherever it is he went.
He's gone, man. He's gone. You talk to him after the climax of the main plot, if you haven't killed him. And he agrees with basically the Blades can never trust him. And the only reason you trust him is because you have shared this experience. And, you know, he says, the Blades are right not to trust me. They don't understand me. They are not Dova. They couldn't possibly understand. And that's, you know, that's the middle ground that the Dovahkiin has to walk. He is Dove, and he is a person as well.
Well, that's annoying. I was looking forward to rebuilding the Blades. God damn it.
Well, then you gotta kill Parthenax.
I'm not killing my best dragon, bro.
I have to be an asshole in this game. It's like I have to screw someone over. You know?
The Blades will manage.
Yeah, that's the Daedric Prince's quests. Just about every one of those quests screws somebody
over. Oh, man, those quests are pretty... Did the one where you finally resolved, the one where you got drunk and were rubbing up against the statues, did you finish that one?
Sanguine?
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah, that's a really awesome one. And then...
That's hilarious.
At the end of it, you get teleported back to Iverstead. I swear, you know, you're in the hall, wherever it is, with all of his drinking buddies, I guess. And then suddenly you're in an inn. And the first thing I thought is, okay, where the hell am I? I had no clue.
That's an appropriate response to a night out.
Satan is an appropriate description of Sanguine.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, so why don't we talk a little bit about the 1.2 patch and how excited we are to see it arrive.
Okay, let me tell you about my experience with it, because I haven't had too much go wrong. But I went to do a quest where I had to kill a dragon. So I went up to a dragon haunt, where there's a word that I'd gotten previously, and it was marked cleared. just to point this out again. Guess what? Actually, this time, 2 dragons decided to be fun to play. So I summoned my hero from wherever it is they come from. And I also had my companion there who survived. So my companion is definitely high enough level to deal with this. So I had a frost dragon there who was just Misk. He just came along for the ride. And an elder dragon, of course. And I had to kill the elder dragon. He was the quest one. The frost dragon I killed first because he was actually doing more damage. But when they landed, they kind of face planted and slid across the ground. And it was the weirdest thing. I mean, I've seen videos of PlayStation 3 dragons flying backwards. I haven't seen that at all. But yeah, it's like they don't know how to land anymore in my game. They just sort of slide across the ground weirdly. It's so strange.
They only seem to slide on the ground when they die and they like fall off a cliff for me. So
yeah, my dragons are still landing okay. I got double dragoned last night by a regular and a frost dragon, but I have a stash of ebony arrows now. Suck it.
I haven't seen any of that. Now, I'm not even sure I've seen the magic resistance thing.
No, I haven't seen the magic resistance thing, although it may have been happening, because I'm getting pwned by cold spells. Like, there was a soul stone in a cold trap, and I walked up to it to disable it, and it shot me twice, and I was dead. And that shouldn't have happened. I've got boots of frost resistance on there, and it's not helping. So
well, then that means you've hit that resistance bug. Yeah.
Yeah, I suspect that I have. Yeah.
Don't go after dragon priests if that's happening to you, because they like magic.
Yeah, they're really tough.
Well, the stuff I've seen in the forums is that people who run into this with high enough level characters find the game to be effectively unplayable because they can't beat any of the bosses.
Hmm. Well, I'll probably run into that pretty soon because I'm doing various quests that are leading me into dungeons that I haven't been into before.
Draugr Death Overlords are the worst.
I did run into something recently, a boss of some sort, and it was an epic battle. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, it was one of those Draugr Death Overlords that I ran into last night that he two-shot me with a bow. I couldn't figure out why. I managed to sneak up on him and kill him instead, and I was like, oh, ebony arrows, this would be why. And an ebony bow.
Well, you know, just to put a note of kind of irritation into this, the magic resistance thing, I can almost understand the problem with the dragons, where maybe you wouldn't catch that in testing. How would you not notice that you've removed all resistance from the game?
How would you not notice that dragons don't fly? It's the game about killing dragons.
Yeah, but you know, from what I've seen, that's supposedly intermittent because not everybody hits that one. So I could almost see that in testing, maybe they just hit the jackpot and didn't run into it. But you're going to run into the magic poison. All of the resistances have been removed. How do you miss that?
I don't know.
It's notched.
It's notched.
We're all bound until the next patch.
I guess so.
That next patch doesn't fix quest bugs. Oh, man. I think people are going to be real upset.
That sounds like it was a patch of some stuff that they knew about between when they went gold and when that game actually came out that they were just holding on to until after release.
Well, yeah, or probably. They were holding on to until they got the go-ahead from the consoles because, as we said earlier in the podcast, they seem to be tied at the hip to making sure that the Steam releases are in sync with the console releases, at least for patches. Not DLCs, apparently. They're going to go to Xbox exclusive on that. But for patches, they're holding everything in common.
I wonder if that has to do with them trying out this Steamworks distribution for the mods. Because somebody I saw in a forum was speculating that that might be a lead into them trying to get the mods to the consoles.
I don't think so.
No, they said PC users in the news report.
Yeah, well, no, this is speculation I saw, not news report.
If the mods require actual programming, then those mods are never going to make it onto the consoles. But if the mods are in their scripting language and using image resources and sound resources and stuff like that, those could quite potentially make it over to consoles because they're just, I mean, scripts are just resources too. So the problem is they need to verify that the script itself cannot escape the game. And that's actually harder to do than you would think.
No, I believe that. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't allow that anytime soon. I'm just more irritated that I don't know, maybe they don't know how to fix the resistance thing, but it seems to me that that's something that they should have a fix out for pretty rapidly because it's more so even than the quest glitches. It's a game breaker in a lot of ways because if you can't fight any bosses, you know, in this game it's big enough that even if the main quest is glitched, you can avoid it. Or you can do what I did on the Xbox last week, which is say, fine, I'll put that character in archive mode and I'll start a new one. But if you've got game-breaking things where your resistances, the one you planned your character around, are suddenly gone...
Hey, this is a cool-looking mod. Lockpick Pro.
Yeah, that's the one that's a cheat.
It's not a cheat.
What does this do? Show you where to steer the pick to?
No, it gives you pick health. So as you're doing this, you can see... Because you know how your pick just sort of snaps too easily most of the time?
Yeah, only on the hardest locks, really, but...
I don't know. Is this a cheat? I don't think it's a cheat.
That sounds like a cheat to me.
Sounds like one.
Hey, look, if you want to cheat, just keep that skeleton key from the Thieves Guild quests, and then you don't have to lockpick. I don't think this is a cheat.
What's this about a lockpick technique?
It's a mod called Lockpick Pro, and it shows you the health of your lockpick as you're picking.
Oh, okay. Just shows you. There is a cheat one out there for lockpicks. I thought that's the one you were talking about that just lets you pick any lock.
I've noticed that on Master and Expert, you only have, like, maybe one tick or two ticks at most, and then it breaks no matter what.
Unless your lockpick skill's way up, I think.
One important fix in the patches that I actually like, when you're in menus, escape actually leaves the menu. So you remember that time I was telling you that I got stuck in a menu? Well, that won't happen anymore. That's nice.
Now, I will say this about the patch. I noticed that, at least on my machine, I had to change the mouse sensitivity for the look. You know, if you go into the settings and you have the look sensitivity, I had to turn that all the way up in order to get my look to not be lagging. And with this patch, that at least went away. I had to actually turn look sensitivity back down.
Well, here's a really important thing we need to talk about. Are the dragons dragons?
What?
What?
Well, dragons have six limbs. They have four legs and two wings. These ones are more like wyverns, right? Where they've got back legs and wings with hands, but are they dragons? I don't think they are.
They are.
I don't think so.
Just because it's a Skyrim variant upon your typical dragon doesn't mean it's not a dragon.
I don't know.
Wait, when you turn up the etymology of dragons in the real world, you let me know.
Yeah, I mean, typically...
It's a part of mythos, you know, when you start talking about dragons and elves, and there are things that you can say about them that are common to everything. And a wyvern does fit the description of what we're seeing in this game.
Well, I don't know. The vampires don't fit the Buffy the Vampire universe of vampires either. They don't burst into flame immediately.
Well, they fit better than the Twilight ones.
Stupid.
Anyway. But,
Twilight vampires.
I know. I shouldn't mention Twilight. I'm just gonna say the dragons in Skyrim, they're fire breathing and or frost breathing. They have breath weapons, and generally wyverns don't. They generally rely on poison, but at least that's as far as demons.
Yeah, we haven't seen any poison dragons, have we?
No. Yeah, why?
Aha, holes in your theory.
Yeah, wow, those holes. I'm hurting. Okay, well, on that note, maybe we should call it for this episode. Smacky is right.
That's right.
Yes, Smacky is right.
And he misses his cue yet again.
Well, my mouse is playing up, so let's see. And besides, I don't read this thing anymore. I get the computer to do it for me. That's the way of the future.
Missed an episode? Need to subscribe to the iTunes feed? Want to join the Facebook group? Want to join the Steam group? Find these links at www.jeroba.com/thuamcast.
I, for one, welcome our robot overlords.
Everyone would welcome our robot overlords learning to pause a little. Take a breath.